Let's go! If I see a single one of you guys celebrate that victory too hard, I'm going to block your asses. Holy crap! 13-10 versus the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky. What the heck happened? I actually will go against my creed tonight and not talk about a single play from this game. The only thing I want to talk about is Lane Kiffin. And any of you know that I always say we should cherish every single game. We only get 12 of these. We could talk recruiting. We could talk all the other stuff that has nothing to do with the game of football for millions upon millions of hours in the offseason. But goodness gracious, there is very little in this world I want to talk about. I don't even know where to begin. It's funny that Harlan Berry has been one of our only good players, and he is the one that fumbled there at the end. And I'm actually glad he did, because the score line of 13-3 would have been so unjustified of how that game actually was played out. We were atrocious offensively. At the start, we were atrocious defensively. Western Kentucky should have at least had 10 points when they forgot how to catch the football with basic wide open touchdowns in that second quarter. They outcoached us like it was nobody's business. And once the opening 15 to 20 plays that were scripted were done, the talent overcame the situation for them, more so on our defensive side than our offensive side. But holy crap. Now, there were some positives, and we'll get to that in just a second. I'll go ahead and tell you what those positives were. Two words: DJ Pickett. What a game. He was transcendently good in this game. But the truth is, that is arguably the worst win I've ever seen LSU football have. Ever. And I know Western Kentucky was 8-2, but they were a lucky 8-2. They have won quite a few close games this year. So, look, it was not a great game by any stretch of the imagination for LSU. And the truth is, when we look back on this night, we will look and see that this game was one that obviously was overshadowed by a coaching search. Now, there will be plenty that say, well, was there a distraction with this team regarding the coaching search? And maybe some of that is mixed in there. But the truth is, before we talk about specific things from this game, this team is ass, all right? And I do think we need to ask the question, well, yeah, we spent all this money on this roster, and a lot of our transfers, our one-year rentals, were fine tonight, even with our best Montour Delaney not really being available, and then us losing Braylon Moore pretty quickly. The guys who won us this game outside of DJ Pickett was Jamari Butler, who had a big night, and then obviously AJ Halsey, who continues to be great. Cooley did some good things in this game as well. And then obviously, we didn't have Braylon on the offensive side of the football. But, you know, none of our guys that have been in our program for years now are any good. There's really hardly any good players on this football team that are year two or year three guys or more. This team is not good. And it's going to take somebody to really flip this roster around. Because I just don't see many building blocks that are still on this team outside of a few year one and year two guys. This team is just not good. It doesn't help that the team is not well coached. And there's a lot of other things that you can point to as to why this team is struggling and not great or whatever. But holy crap, man, that was a bad football game. It is. And there have been so many Brian Kelly era wins where we were not the better team and we still won the game. 2022 Auburn, 2024 South Carolina. I mean, there's a lot, but this one takes the cake. This one takes the cake. I don't think there was like any bad in-game head coaching decisions by Frank. It's just, this team is just not that good. They're obviously very hurt as well. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Now we turn the page. You have Oklahoma. You could take them out of the college football playoff race. And I'm telling you right now, I have a lot of Oklahoma supporters on the SEC channel. If you come over here and watch this stream, if you lose this game, you not only deserve to not make the playoff, you deserve to fire Brent Venables. And you deserve to end your college football program if you allow this team to go on the road and beat your asses next week and knock you out of the playoff. Now, before we get to all your comments, some of you probably want an update on Lane Kiffin. Obviously, Ole Miss was off this week. There really is nothing else going on other than LSU just did not look good. If there was anything positive from this game for the future of LSU football, you know, it is something that the student section, while their shirts were spinning, they started a Lane Kiffin chant. So I think that is a positive. If there is another positive, it was senior night. And I am glad that they won and that their livelihoods are not forever stunk up because they lost this game to the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Okay. So there you go. Am I just at my pure LSU fan core happy that we won this game? Sure. But damn it, dude. That was, Frank Wilson's 2-1 with the wins being by combined 4 points. But a win is a win is a win. Okay? Pay DJ Pickett whatever he wants. Well, I'll tell you this. His agents and representatives, they have all the bargaining chips in the world. This film was insane. This really was one of the best true freshman cornerback performances we have seen. And there have been a lot of good ones. Number 14 for LSU, all the way back in 2010, had quite a few of those. Number 7 at LSU, had quite a few of those back in 2008. Number 24 at LSU, had quite a few of those in 2019. And the ball knowers know who I'm talking about in each and every one of those, okay? But he's good. He's got a chance to be as good as those guys, okay? And those guys are the best of the best, and those they're all legends, obviously. But, man, what a game. What a freaking game. Now, we can get into quite a few different things in this game. But there is no justifiable reason for Brad Davis to be brought back next season, no matter who the coach is. I don't understand how he is even going to get a job anywhere as an offensive line coach outside of being an assistant offensive line coach somewhere. I don't know what it is, but this has to be the single worst offensive line I have ever seen, maybe in the entire Southeastern Conference. And Vanderbilt has put out some pure ass some of these seasons. Like, I just don't know how in the world a man who actually coaches this position in the year 2025, the year of our Lord, could conceivably produce so many outrageously bad football players. Bad. I'm not talking about serviceable or below average. I'm talking about bad. From actual physicality to actual football IQ to actual discipline when it comes to penalties. My goodness gracious, do not lie to me. You were already thinking, whoever you are right now, that LSU might lose this game tonight when they were driving up and down on us early. But when Braylon Moore went out and DJ Chester went in, your heart sank. And I want you to think about the actual margins of this game. We scored a touchdown thanks to a magical 4th-and-3 conversion from Michael Van Buren that took a chest flip while running out to his left side. It was a ridiculous play by him, but man. So yes, the offensive line is what everyone's going to point to. But now we need to get to an even more serious point here, which is Michael Van Buren. It was not a good game. All right. I do think on a rewatch, it won't be quite as atrocious because there were a few things just because before I start the post-game live stream, I quickly go through and look at a few plays. But, you know, for me, the miss to Xavion was bad. It was bad in the first half. And then there are a few instances, like the fourth down play right there. That ball has got to be thrown to Bauer Sharp. He is wide open. That is the design of the play, too. I understand Trades is an option there. But on fourth and one, we want to hit the wide open option to end the game. And Trades still needs to catch that football. Okay. It was a tough night for Berrion Brown. Just a tough night. And just a tough night overall for our receivers. It was a tough night for injuries. Looks like it could have gotten worse with that big shot that Caden Durham took at the end of the first half. But, man, just an awful night. And, you know, you factor in that they didn't get any points on that fourth down. What if they settle for a field goal? You know, there's a lot that you could point to about this actually should have been a loss, all right? But as we always do, we go into the post-game press conference, or should I say the post-game statistical analysis, thanks to our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. First thing we always do, we go to the far right column and take a look at the yard per play discrepancy. 2.3 yards per play by Western Kentucky. That has to be one of, if not the lowest marks in LSU defensive history. 2.3 yards per play. That is stupendously good by this LSU defense. Now, would you consider this a good defensive performance? Yes. If you hold anybody to 2.3 yards per play, that was a pretty good defensive performance, or at least an elite defensive performance. Obviously, it should have been worse, right? You know, they drop the point-blank touchdown. They drop the out and up. Then they had a third down conversion that the receiver should have converted, but he ran right into a defensive back who was basically standing out of bounds, and they don't get it. But still, 2.3 yards per play, it's really good. And then more importantly, they were 4 of 18 on third and fourth down combined. All right, some of the third down conversions, though, were longer, which has been a Blake Baker thorn in his side. But the adjustments and the steam, you know, eventually figuring this out, it was still a really good performance defensively, okay? At the very least, you got to call it great. Now, you get the special teams. It was a good night for special teams, another good night for Ramos, 2 field goals. Obviously, were really good. Had some good punt returns from Xavion as well. We kicked the football out of the back of the end zone with Aaron Burrell. So good night there. And then, of course, offensively is where we're going to spend most of the time. And once again, for the second consecutive game, Xavion Thomas leads the team in receptions. 9 of his 6 targets were caught, 47 yards, yak of 32. And then, obviously, 2 of the balls that were targeted, he was open. So I think at this juncture, Xavion Thomas has been your best wide receiver this year. And you go down the list, Destin Hill had a really good catch in the first half. Kyle Parker did some good things in this game. But once again, it was a tough night for Berrion Brown. Really tough night. Okay, he had a drop. But he did have a few of those little pop pass catches. And there you go. Then go to the defensive side of the football. Devon Keys leads the way with 10 tackles. Whit Weeks, some participation snaps so he can get the 3 Weeks brothers on the field. And then he went immediately back into the walking boot. I say Juwan Johnson. His name, actually, they have this marked down wrong. There's Juwan Johnson, and then there's Jackson. It was just a really, really, really good night for him. The Florida transfer having that big tackle on fourth down. But obviously it was a PJ Woodland and DJ Pickett domination from them on the outside. A lot of it is because Tisdale's not that great of a quarterback as well. Okay? So, there you go. DRDC says, Carter, I love you, but this team just isn't worth hearing about anymore. I disagree. I mean, this team has gone through enough. They deserve my attention. We do deserve to talk about this game. It is fun to actually have some football to look forward to. But, man, I don't know. I don't know about this Oklahoma game this next weekend. Oklahoma just does not blow teams out, though. So that's not really what they do. And there you go. I will say, one thing about Michael Van Buren. You saw tonight in the red zone how important the zone read game is. Our biggest run outside of that last Harlan Berry run was that Michael Van Buren zone read pull in the red zone. And you see how important the QB run game is in the modern game when you get into the red zone in college football. The NFL, it's different, okay? So there you go. Let's go to WAP God. Carter, is this offense scoring on the 2023 LSU defense consistency? I see what you're saying, and I hope the whole Whopper family's good. So his question is this offense worse than the 2023 defense? And the answer to that is probably yes, especially when you factor in how much more important the offense is than the defense, right? And it's just true. You know, your offense is more important than your defense. There's just not many teams in the modern game that get into the college football playoff with a defense-first kind of team. Now, Oklahoma, if they beat us next week, they're getting into the playoff with that style of team. But there's just not many of those, right? It's mostly, hey, your team is carried by your offense, or you have a very good to elite offense. So, yeah, and the thing about the 2023 LSU defense is I don't think Sage Ryan and Major Burns are as bad as our offensive line. I'm serious. I never thought that that sentence would ever come out of this trap of mine, but it just did. It just did. But Law is correct. A bad offense would be an improvement over what we have. This is far worse than a typical bad offense. This offense is dysfunctional. All right, so I'm going to give a public apology here. And it's not going to be a full public apology. But we do owe a little bit of a, I don't know if apology is the right word. I guess you could say we should bring back the conversation of Joe Sloan, because I do think Joe Sloan just took so much of the blame. And yes, this is still the framework of his offense, and this is, you know, where we are right now, and he still does deserve a good bit of it. But ultimately, this is Brian Kelly. Now, I'm not a big believer in signs or poetic justice or anything like that, because sports are a brutal, it's a cruel sport, college football. It's very cruel. It's unfair. I was thinking about this earlier today. Ahmad Hardy had one offer, and it was ULM. And ULM was the only school that gave him an opportunity to play. He dominates, and then after one season, sayonara. And ULM understood it. Ahmad Hardy had to do what he had to do. And there you go. College football is not fair. It is not fair. All right. But the truth is, it did not go past my BS meter that they showed Brian Kelly's son Kinzel doing his senior day celebration. And during the senior day celebration, he took his jersey up and it had the initials BK on his shirt. And then on the very next play, Harlan Berry fumbles a football and it's returned for a touchdown. I don't believe there are sports gods from time to time. But if there ever was a sports god up there, he is smiling down on me right now. And look, I believe in a higher power. I'm a proud born-again Christian. But there is a sports god up there now that if you don't believe, because a lot of what you saw tonight is Brian Kelly. A lot of it, okay? Oh, it was tough, dude. It was tough. I don't know if I'm going to go live that much. I'm not going to lie. I am hurting. Hurting right now. There's 474 combined offensive yards tonight. Arch Manning had more yards himself than the combined amount of yards from both of these teams. I couldn't listen to the audio. And the funny thing about it is I have nothing against BK's son. Honestly, nothing. He's actually watched some of our stuff. And I also don't mind a son showing love on senior night to his dad. I really, the BK t-shirt pull down, that doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. Because it's your final college football game and your dad's not there for obvious reasons. But man, I don't know if I was the only one that caught that. That the very next play, it was a fumble return for a touchdown. Okay? This is like debating the 2008 Lions versus the 2017 Browns. All right, a few other things. Let's go through positives and negatives. We talked about DJ Pickett. LSU's defensive ends had themselves a good night. The DTs really held it down. But eventually it just came down to Western Kentucky just running out of scripted plays. You could tell their coach, Coach Helton, is a really good coach. But once those scripted plays went out the wayside, you see the difference between a P4 not good team versus an actual non-P4 team. And then it gets into, you know, the teams like James Madison, they play a lot of these kind of Western Kentucky types of teams. Do they deserve a playoff slot over an SEC team? And as crazy as it sounds, I still think that they do. It's one slot going to a group of four team. I'm okay with it. But I will say, shit like this will push you in a certain direction. Then you get into what really is a conversation, piece, which is how many guys that have played consistent snaps for LSU, how many of those guys are actually going to go to another P4 program and do anything? You know, one thing I will say about the Brian Kelly era that is truly astonishing is that there are so many top 100, and to expand the sample size here, top 150 recruits that have come to this program and done nothing. And then they transfer out and they still do nothing. They were just outright bad football players. They're just not good. It is crazy how many of them actually came here and just didn't work. Juwan Johnson gets constantly good yards. So Army Base wants to talk about Juwan Johnson. Wait, did he really say that? Okay, I take everything back. Did he really say, free my boy BK? I have to watch with the volume off because I'm live. I don't want clashing audio. Did he really say, free my boy BK? No! No! What? Okay. So this requires specificity. And a journalist actually doing this is only going to burn sources, and it's not something that the audience would really want to know. But I am dying to know if Brian Kelly wanted to walk out there for senior day and LSU elected to not let him. So if that were the case, then free my boy BK is a justified thing for the young man to say. All right. But if the invite was extended to Brian Kelly to walk out there for senior day and he said no, and then he says, free my boy BK, then that is crazy to say. Free my boy, free my boy? What? Free my boy, BK? You know what free my boy, you know where that all started, right? That's actually getting someone out of prison or jail. That's actually something like a serious thing. Like a lot of people, they kind of jokingly say that stuff. Like, free my boy, or whatever. Which is fine. I don't take life too seriously. But no matter what, before your dad ever came to LSU, he was a millionaire many times over. Many times over. And now he's a gajillionaire. And even let's just say he loses out some magical lawsuit and he only gets $20 million of his $54 million. It's still $20 million. Crazy. Crazy. Long live BK. I'll be honest, though, there is a piece of me that also says, that's your dad, okay? If I was in that spot, I'm probably acting that same way about my father. That's fine. I just find it hilarious. And once again, the major point about this is he did that. They showed it on the broadcast, Harlan Berry fumble for a touchdown, okay? Austin put this comment in here five different times. Let's get to it. From the Kelly era, how many high school recruits committed to Kelly and then were drafted? The answer is less than one. Well, we don't quite know that just yet. I mean, your point is still correct, though. There's just not many. But, you know, if you include Mason in that class, which many people would, because Brian Kelly was still the coach and he still got their signatures. Then he got a lot of those guys, okay? Also, because we're only a few years into it, you know, the first class, this is the first year that they would actually be draft eligible. But how many of the recruits that he brought in are going to get drafted? Well, Witt will eventually, whenever he is done with his career, and Trey Edds and all those guys, but it's not many. It's not many. And we don't have a year three guy that's going to get drafted unless Witt comes out. Okay? But yeah, it's his dad. I'm not going to make this live stream just totally about him, but that's great. It is. I just found it interesting. Okay. But I do want to bring this up, though, about Brian Kelly before we continue. Okay. 2022, LSU. And I know this is a broken record point. 2022, worst special teams unit ever at LSU. 2023, worst defense ever at LSU. 2024, there wasn't an all-time worst unit, magically. But were we good offensively? Eh, not really. I mean, we were good, but not great. Were we good defensively? Eh. We were mid. I think mid is a perfect way to describe it. And on special teams, eh. Return game was mostly good, but ugh. And then in 2024, this is by far the worst offense ever at LSU. And it's amazing on a night like tonight, Brandon Harris's name keeps getting brought up, Anthony Jennings' name, Andrew Hatch's name. At least those offenses had some kind of an identity into who they were, right? Like, we could run the ball. Those offenses could run it some. And it's kind of funny. Wilson Alexander tweeted this out. He said, this could be the first LSU offense. Wait, did he delete it? All right, no. Since the Division I split, LSU has not gone an entire season without scoring more than 25 points against an FBS team. Okay, per Scott Rabelais' research. And the funny thing was, I took some blowback early in the year being a stickler about that 25-point mark. And the only reason we even have 25 is because of a garbage time Kyle Parker touchdown versus A&M when they called off all the dogs. And we had 18 at half by then. It really makes you wonder how. I really do think we could get ChatGPT to just spit out play calls, and they have not a single idea of any of our personnel or anything, and it would have found a way to score 25 points at least once. All right. So the reason why I've always stuck to that 25-point mark is that to score more than 25, you need to have at least three, you have to have at least one score per quarter, and then some, right? So you need three touchdowns and a field goal and another touchdown. You need at least four touchdowns, basically. Can you have at least one game where you average a touchdown per quarter? It's crazy. I'm so exhausted. I feel like I'm doing terrible post-game coverage, but there really is just nothing to talk about with this game. And I kind of just want to rehash all the lane shit that we've talked about over the last 9 hours, where there really hasn't been anything that's happened, to my knowledge, today. Okay? literally the only true bright spot was DJ Pickett. As in, like, this guy is for real. For real, for real. And we knew that already, but... Now, coming up next, we're going to get to some Frank Wilson audio. And we'll continue the party. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook, or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you? It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563, or visit fortifiedgulf.com. That's FortifiedGulf.com. Let's go. Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LabordTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LabordTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LabordTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their 5 locations all throughout the Lafayette region. All right, let's hear from Coach Frank Wilson after the game. This is via LSUSports.net. Once again, LSUSports.net.
Boy, huh? How about that? Quality football team. We just went up against, and you know, you look at Tyson Hilton and the job he's done the last 7 years there. And, you know, I remembered him years ago when he was at Tennessee. I always thought he was an outstanding offensive mind. And a team out 6 out of 7 years that goes into a bowl game. That's sitting there 8-2 with a pretty good offense that even as well as we played defensively, you know, you look at them early on, it took us a moment to settle in. And once we did, and it got to the second half, we were absolutely dominant defensively, just lights out. I thought Blake Baker and the defensive staff and our players played lights out. They gave us some issues for our offense. They changed up some things. They shift and moved and stemmed and would show one picture from a secondary perspective, and then only to camouflage it and being something different. And so that was challenging at times for us, but I thought we did enough to find a way to win the football game. And, you know, when we got in the locker room, here's what I said to our team. It's hard to win. It's hard to win in November. And as the late L. Davis said, just win, baby. Just find a way to win. So we're not going to sulk. We're not going to put our head down. We didn't play well. A lot of that is because offensively because of the defense we went against. And we're still a work in progress. I thought our special teams probably played the best they've played all year in totality, from a field goal standpoint to kickoff, kicking it out of the end zone, from a return standpoint and coverage unit. And so we did ascend in some areas again, specifically defensively and special teams. We still have some work to do to get over this hump. We'll have to play better and next week to have a chance to win this football game. And I'm confident we will. We'll get to work and knock out these kinks and find out the things that we can do to give us a chance to create explosive and touchdowns.
All right, so let me stop Frank right there. Of course, as a coach, the team wants to hear that message. Just win, baby. If I could have bet money that he was going to quote Al Davis and the just win, baby thing, I don't know. Just win, baby, after what that was? I hope you were going to win as 22-point favorites over Western Kentucky. But yeah. I don't think LSU fans want to hear that. Still, I like Frank. I think all of you like Frank. We continue.
Yeah, Frank, I mean, you just talked about maybe some of the things y'all struggle with offensively. Yeah. Why do you think maybe the offense wasn't ready for it initially or able to adapt in game to those certain things that and have some more success?
Yeah, I thought, you know, personnel wise, you know, you lose your starting center, you lose your left tackle, then you put a different guy in, then he gets out until you bring an injured guy, you bring him back in. But that's a part of football, right? So the next man up mentality, that guy has to be ready to go. Caden Durham gets concussed. So we got nicks and bruises here and there. And so the continuity of guys who had gotten those repetitions in abundance was tested. And so we're a team where we have to not just the starters, but the guys who are in backup roles have to be ready to go. And so our depth was tested tonight. And so it limits the things that you want to do to protect the quarterback, to protect those linemen, to protect the play call. And so when injuries start to occur the way they do, the playbook then kind of condenses to give yourself the best chance of doing whatever it takes to win the game.
Coach, how important is DJ Pickett for the future of this program?
He was our MVP. I thought he played lights out. And holistically, I thought he was good in run support. I thought he shed blocks and came off as a squat corner and a zone coverage and negated runs. I thought he blitzed well and was disruptive. I thought he contested passes. And of course, with the interception as well. He is an elite player. Exactly what we desired for him to be for us, what Corey thought he was when we recruited him. I think he's going to be a spectacular player, and his future is extremely bright.
Yeah, Frank, have injuries shrunk the playbook all season to the point that this offense has been so bad all year?
Has injuries shrunk the playbook? Yeah. Well, we're youthful. We're a youthful offensive unit, especially up front. And I think that when you do that, it's our responsibility to do the things that give you a chance to win. We can go out and try to be sexy and do things that don't adhere and allow us to be our best version of us, and it won't bode well for you. And so what do? You do the things that you can do with the personnel that you have. And sometimes it's ugly and sometimes it's tough. And so I believe in our kids. I believe that they'll continue to get better. We'll continue to coach them to get better. And they're the most of what we have. And we accept them for who they are. And it's our responsibility to continue to build upon that.
Hey, Frank, could you just give a comment on the three Weeks brothers getting on the field at the same time?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty sweet. You know, when we, as we recruited each one, that was kind of our sales pitch to David, to their father. You know, how about not just one, but two? Well, how about a third one? Like, that's never been done before. I don't know if there's been three brothers on one team. I know of several that had two. But certainly a special moment for that family and for them to be able to walk out with West as he was recognized in the early going of the game when we recognized our seniors on senior night is certainly a special moment for the family. A wonderful family. We enjoy them. They're high quality, talented young players that bond together and allows us to be a good football team. And so it was good to be able to share that moment with them and give them that moment.
Yeah, Frank, I guess just to follow up on that, just how do you think Witt looked out there, I guess, movement wise for his couple drives, and just do you expect them to be able to build on that, I guess?
Yeah. So that was our call. We wanted to not do too much today, but give it a shot, you know, because when you're rehabbing and you're in space and you're doing things, it could feel good, but when you body weight is on you and you anchor down and you have to change direction or your body is contorted in an awkward position and you have to recover, those are the things that needs to be tested. It was tested today for him, and he came out fine with it and eager to play next week in the game at this point for sure.
Right here. I saw you hugging a bunch of family and friends after the game. If this is the last home game that you're the head coach, just what did this opportunity mean to you?
Yeah, so I know it always seems like, so here's my dad was the oldest of 13. My mom is one of nine. I have six siblings, and so I have a lot of family, right? And that's just my side. That's not even my wife's side. So, no, it's always, you know, and I shared with you guys last week, if you can't share it with the people you love, then what's the sense of doing it? And so I enjoy being able to create an atmosphere, an opportunity, a fellowship with my family, friends, and loved ones, and doing the same thing for our staff, our state, our university as well. You know, the head coach, the associate head coach, whatever that's going to be, that's going to be. I don't know. I'm just I'm living in the moment, right? I'm where my feet are, and I'm taking one day at a time and just rolling with it.
Coach, I think going off of that, it's very obvious to everyone the relationship that you have with the players on this team. You've been here with them. Mm-hmm. Just what was it like for you to honor those nearly 30 seniors tonight?
Yeah, you know what? I almost got us delayed because every parent, you know, you sat in their homes. You know, 4 years ago with the mom, with the dad, with the grandmother, the brother, the sister, et cetera. And so it culminates, right? It encapsulate their time from recruitment to graduation to the last home game. And it was very emotional for some of them, but it's a special moment. And, you know, I'm just glad we were able to have a victory for them, you know, at the grand scheme of it. However the game played out, here's all they know. LSU won seven games. We won the game today. How we won, you know, we found a way. If you win by one, just find a way to win. And I'm proud of our team for doing that and being able to give that to our seniors.
Right, just to follow up, you mentioned Caden Durham got a concussion. At what point in the game exactly did that happen? Because it seemed like first half at some point he came out and came back in.
You know, first he was saying the neck. He went, you know, I don't know if he got jammed, and I don't have all the medical information right now. I just thought it was a neck injury. And then at the end of the game, I saw him with the doctor and they kind of told me no and pointed up there. So I'm assuming that's what it was. To be honest, I don't have the exact medical deal, but they took his helmet. When they take your helmet and point up there, that's usually a concussion because they don't want him to grab it and try to go back into the game.
How's it going, Coach? My question to you would be, what was your final message to those seniors that took the field tonight?
Yeah, go play, right? We had a video, a highlight video that we showed to the players on Saturday morning before we come over here, and it kind of depicts the motivational aspects of the game. And in lieu of that today, I removed myself from the speech at the hotel. I removed the video, and we did a little deal called From a Brother's Heart. where those guys who have been here for length of time stood up in front of the team and talked about what it has meant to them over the last 6 years, Jacobian, what it has meant for them 5 years, Garrett Nussmeier and Harold Perkins in 4 years, and Wes Weeks and Ramos. You know, those guys got up and said to the young guys, you have no idea. I know you think you have time. It goes by so fast. And it was very much heartfelt. It was sincere. And it served in the capacity of our motivation. Just each one of those young men giving their testimony of what it was. And we took a handful of them, six of them or so, and they spoke about it. And what I said to our team, I keep trying to find ways to describe it. How foolish of me. And so I removed myself and I pushed them to the forefront and allowed them to speak on their own behalf and unscripted, speak from your heart. What do you want to tell that guy in the back who's 18 years old, who's looking around like there's no tomorrow, right? He's just wandering because sometimes their peers can reach him even stronger than we can. So we did that, and it was a special moment for our football team.
Cool. Frank, short fields off of turnovers and the red zone, just your assessment of where the offense is in those areas the last couple of weeks, and where do you guys start to just get better?
Yeah. Self-inflicted. I think when you get a big play, it gets called back, you jump off sides, you know, some of the same things continue at times to rear its head. For us, to be able to get points becomes the priority for us. Ideally, touchdowns. You want to be able to do those things. And so we have to just keep chopping wood. You know, there is no giving up. There is no, we'll try this. We'll try that. So we're going to continue to try to find a way to get the ball in the end zone and by different measures. And so whether it's a receiver that's getting into the backfield, it's a running back lining up at receiver, whatever it takes, a quarterback designed to run, we try the gambit of things, and we'll continue to hammer at it to look at what defenses are doing to us as we look at our tendencies to try to crack the vault to create more touchdown plays for us. Thank you all very much.
All right, so there you go. You got all of Frank Wilson there here. It's PHL Live, the post-game show. And, this was, the point I made a minute ago where I stopped the press conference. And all audio belongs to LSU football, LSUsports.net. LSU has been relegated to just win, baby, against the CUSA team. Yeah, I watched a bit of the Toledo game versus Western Kentucky, and they tore their asses up. Toledo. Now, once again, it's different because they're treating this game as their Super Bowl. You know, this is the highlight of their career, a night game in Death Valley. And this was the lowest moment outside of senior night. I really do think if you were to do a power rankings, after week one, many thought LSU was the best team in the SEC. I was starting to feel that myself. Might have said that caught up in the moment, talking about the Clemson game. I do think last week, the battle for the Golden Boot, those were the two worst teams in the SEC going head-to-head. It's one of four teams. It's either LSU, Arkansas, Kentucky, or South Carolina. It's one of those four, okay? Could you throw Florida in there? I don't know. You might can. But we are so bad. We are so, so, so bad. And the problem is it's to the point where you're like, it's not, I think as bad as some of the LSU offense has been this year, I think the word bad is a disservice to the word bad. That's how bad it is. It is lower than bad. And I keep going back to this point. Where is the LSU offense good? What is something that the LSU offense does at a high level? There is not a single thing that you could point to. Anything that is positive, that is. There's good players. I think at this point, Xavion is something that's good about our offense. Caden and Harlem are playing really well, you know, outside of that really bad fumble. Braylon, when he's healthy, is good, but you know, those are just individual players. I'm talking about concepts, ideas, philosophical aspects of the game of football. All right, running the ball. Can you run the ball well? No. Are there aspects of the running game you do well? Outside runs? No. Inside runs? No. Gap runs? Zone runs? No and no. Trick plays. Well, we run a really good trick play tonight. And normally these kinds of trick plays don't work, where the offensive line is told to go to the opposite side of the field. And if you listen to our halftime show, and I don't recommend you go back and listen to it, but you can, I brought up, hey, let's run plays where the offensive line are just decoys. We do that to the nth degree, to the farthest extreme. We put the offensive line and hug them on the sideline and run a trick play to the right side. And even they could not do that. They were supposed to be on the line of scrimmage. They lined up a full yard off the ball. There is nothing redeeming about this offense. Wide receiver group. Well, they're hurt, but the rotation doesn't make sense. Can the wide receivers run deep patterns? No. Can they run in-breaking patterns? They're actually kind of good at that. Hitches, anything like that. Screens. Yeah, well, screens, we've been okay. I wouldn't say we've been great. Okay, do we catch the football when it's thrown to us? No. We're really bad at dropping the ball. Separation. Eh. Tight end room. It's a good receiving room, right? Barishart made one good play tonight. But they can't block. They are such bad blockers. What about at quarterback? You turn the football over. Yeah, both of them do. Okay. Can the quarterbacks run? Well, Garrett can't, and Van Buren's not that great of a runner. But at least he gives you something. All right, so with this offense, is there formational diversity? Not really. Okay. Do you go under center? No, we don't even really try it. I give Alex some credit, though. One difference between him and Joe is that we've actually gone under center some. It's there's just not a single thing. And another problem with the LSU offense, they struggle to stand upright. It is astonishing how many times the offensive line is on the ground. Astonishing. They simply cannot stand upright. False start penalties. All of it. Okay. Nola Grizz, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate you. Preach. Let's go to Pegasus. Carter, what is the best and most complete game LSU has played this year? Okay. Let's pull up the schedule, and we could do that together. And Nola Grizz, you can follow up with your super. Boom. Okay, 2025 schedule. The answer It's the game that we're going to play next week when we shock the world and beat Oklahoma. And the answer to your question is, Clemson, probably. It's probably Clemson. That was probably the most complete game we played. We're pretty good on offense, very good on defense, and pretty good on special teams. And ironically, that's going to be our best win of the year. I know Clemson didn't work out, but that's a different team in week one, fully locked in. But I do think that'll end up being our best victory. Florida's terrible. South Carolina's terrible. Arkansas's terrible. Okay? Those are arguably the other three worst programs in the SEC. Okay? So, there you go. All right, here's what we're going to do. Next 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll get this thing moving. We'll keep it moving. Let's talk about Lane Kiffin. And let's talk about this head coaching opening. Do I believe Lane Kiffin is going to be the next head coach at LSU? Well, one thing that was interesting is that while this game and while there weren't really any revelations from today or anything like that, this was the first time, though, that like everybody at LSU is together. So you have different subsets of people like crossing paths. So you have the real decision makers who are at the game. And then you also have, of course, the players and their parents. You know, one thing I would include into all of this is there are some players that would be privy to the information at hand here. And I'll, you know, I think you guys could connect some dots there. But for me, pretty high-ranking person. Well, I say a high-ranking person. He's not involved with LSU football, but he would know. He told me today he thinks it's done. All right. And I did receive a pretty interesting image as far as some of the houses that were viewed by the powers that be for Lane. Okay. That doesn't mean anything, though. I mean, I haven't heard of them doing that in Gainesville, but that's why you make the trip, right? You make the trip to stake out Baton Rouge and just see what you have there. But really think about that. What would be the number one thing you would want to know when you would go visit a city or you have some family visiting a city? It's not the actual facility itself, because you know the facilities at all these SEC schools are now elite. In fact, the pendulum is swinging the other way where people are starting to wonder, did we give too much money to the facilities? So there you go. But more often than not, when family members visit a city, they're staking out homes. They're staking out a few other things about, you know, the city, the social scene and all of that, the schools as well. But they obviously can't just go visit the facility. You just got to take the word, hey, our facilities are dope. We'll move some things around. And there you go. Let's go to Army Base. You know, I took some heat on Twitter today for being an Eli Drinkwitz fan. He says, tell me why I should like Drinkwitz. I watched him today, and I didn't see anything that excited me. Yeah, it wasn't a good day for Eli Drinkwitz. You know who else it wasn't a good day for? Almost every other head coach who is associated with a job opening, including another name in Brent Key that has been associated with LSU's name. They got their asses blown the frick out. So the first thing I like about Eli Drinkwitz is his run game designs are really good. They know how to run the football. Their main play is outside zone, which is my favorite rush design. So they ran the football fine in that game. It's just that's the best defense in the SEC right now, which is Oklahoma's, and they couldn't convert in the red zone. I thought they settled for some field goals that they didn't need to. And then, of course, where they really got beat were the explosive plays. Oklahoma hit a few explosives, and yeah, it's all the points that they needed. I didn't agree with some of the in-game decisions that Drink actually made, which, you know, to each your own. But, yeah, you would have liked to have seen more than 6 points, especially when you got your starting quarterback back. But it wasn't like they got blown out. It wasn't like they didn't dominate like large swaths of that game. They did a pretty good job. They just didn't finish when it mattered the most. So you tip your hat to Oklahoma. They're the better team. Now, there's a reason they were favored, and there you go. Okay? Now, we then get to this with Jesse. I wanted to save this for later. Normally, post-game shows, more viewers trickle in, and we've had quite a few in here, okay? But I didn't want to lead with this because this is going to be the hardest thing I've ever said about an individual player. Michael Van Buren deserves nothing but praise for what he's doing for us. Garrett is out. He's toughed out quite a few injuries throughout the season, and he's out. How hurt is he? We don't know. But Garrett being out put Michael Van Buren in a weird position because there was discussions about the redshirt thing. Could he redshirt? Could he not redshirt? Whatever. And my position on this is always clear. Whoever the clear number two quarterback is, it cannot be, is he redshirting or is he not redshirting? It puts your team too much in a bind. And this is the second year that LSU has actually had this happen to him. It was Garrett back in 2021, and it ironically comes back to bite us in the ass here. So the first thing I want to say about MVB is you saw today that we probably don't win any more games with him at quarterback than with Garrett. And the same thing is, we probably don't beat Clemson without MVB because Garrett was really good in that game. So it probably evens itself out. Neither are really that great in this version of an absolutely atrocious offense. So the second thing is LSU had another quarterback in Colin Hurley. And whatever Colin Hurley is going through right now, I wish him nothing but the best. I've prayed for Colin Hurley. He's been on this channel. I pray for all of my guests. I pray for every single LSU player that's out there. I think a lot of you do as well. But he put LSU in a bad spot here. I don't know what he's going. I really don't know. But here's a quarterback who had a very serious accident. And LSU slowly brought him back, and he got back to practice, and apparently he's fully healthy. So now he's unavailable. And tonight would have been an absolutely perfect night to give him the start. And he probably would have been good enough to get us a victory tonight. But, you know, his year is burned. Anyway, he already redshirted the year before, which is why I still said that LSU did not think this through. You should have played him in the garbage time reps in the games earlier in the year. And you should have gone to Michael Van Buren and said, look, you are the number two guy. If we absolutely positively need you, we're going to put you in over Colin Hurley. But versus Southeastern in mop-up duty, it does really nobody any good for you to play these games unless you want to burn your redshirt. You can't juggle the two, okay? So my understanding is LSU was trying to help Michael Van Buren with this redshirt thing, but you should never do that with your top backup quarterback. And this is a defining example of why LSU is not a great team. And this is kind of a behind-the-scenes thing. But I've discussed this with other media members. I've discussed this with players on the team. I've discussed this with personnel members of LSU. One thing that really hurt this team this year were the compounding amount of conflicts of interest. All right, so, you know, let's just say I'm totally wrong, and there were no discussions of redshirting with Michael Van Buren. Let's just say that is the case. All right, might be that I have bad information. So take that out of the equation. There's still the agent conflict of interest, where the quarterback's agent is the same as that of the head coach. It's a major conflict of interest. Then, of course, you also have the conflicts of interest when you're paying certain players a good chunk of money and you don't want to move things around because of that very thing. That's something a lot of teams have to deal with. But earlier in the season, it made no sense doing what you did with Harold Perkins when he was struggling as much as he did. And now it's not really mattered as much because, well, you know, the Alabama game was after a bye. Perk played well in that game. But our offense stunk so bad. And we played Arkansas and Perk played well in that game. So he came around, but I would have changed a lot. But then you get into the, well, we're paying so-and-so an X amount of dollars. We got to play him a certain amount of snaps. And I just think there were so many of these on this team. And it hurt him. I really do think so. And there you go. So for me to sit here and criticize Michael Van Buren, who wasn't good, for him to play these games, because I don't know if Emil Piccarella as a walk-on is winning this game. I don't know if Juwan Johnson is winning this game. I just don't know. But Michael Van Buren won us this game tonight. He wasn't the reason that we did win, but at the same time, he probably was the reason we did win, right? He didn't play well, but us going to the emergency situation at the quarterback position, you know, had us where we were in this game tonight, all right? So he deserves credit for that. And this is theoretically a $500,000 decision. So why do I come up with $500,000? Well, that's what Ole Miss paid Trinidad Chambliss. All right. They paid him $500,000. So I'm not saying Michael Van Buren is as good as Trinidad Chambliss, but let's just say Michael Van Buren is going into his fifth year, which is probably not going to happen for him now. He, at the very least, from a P4 school, is getting $500,000. At the very, very, very least, he's getting $250,000 to be a backup somewhere for his fifth and final year of eligibility. And he lost out on that opportunity tonight while playing this game. And tonight, he also lost out on the ability to be the starter next year. He cannot be the starter next year. All right? He wasn't that great versus Alabama. He wasn't that great versus Arkansas, and he wasn't that great tonight. He was bad tonight. But I feel bad criticizing him for it because of what the sacrifice he made for this team with Frank and this locker room, and he deserves nothing but praise for that. It was a really bad spot that he was put in by quite a few people, okay? But we are where we are right now, okay? And then Maxwell says, enough of the Van Buren chatter. He sucks. I'm not going to get there, man. Remember, he is the backup quarterback. Not everybody is Trinidad Chambliss. Okay. We're very lucky to have MVB. And I won't say he sucks, right? He's a solid SEC backup quarterback. And Garrett did not justify himself for giving himself the remaining reps, for what it's worth. Okay. And now I would ask teams to really think about their true backup quarterback situation. Now, we then talk about this. What is Michael Van Buren's future at LSU? So he told media members today that he wants to stay at LSU. And for that, I would love him to stay as a backup quarterback. I don't know what he's getting paid right now. It's definitely in the six figures. But, you know, I would love for him to stay at LSU as a backup. Always good to have a good change of pace backup with as many SEC starts as he has under his belt now. Okay. So that's great. But I don't know if he's going to want to stay to just be a backup. And at the same time, I don't know if I want him to stay, if he has the idea that, hey, I want to come back. Can y'all do right by me and see if you can preserve my red shirt for this next year? So if he's all on board being the number two guy and being with LSU in another season, sure. But he cannot be the starter next year. And then you get into a more tricky situation, which is you kind of really need him back. You really do, because the class of 2026 does not have a quarterback commit. And whoever you want to bring in from the portal, you probably want a big name. So it's going to cost you. So there's a lot of different things that you have to factor in. But he just simply cannot be the starter next year. He just can't. Okay? Let's go to Nola Grizz. What's up with the $90 million offer to Kiffin that was supposed to be sent tonight? Well, it's there. It is there. $13 million a year. He's got three of those. Okay? I do want to address this. Amor T says, I actually did hear Peyton Houston might reclass to 2026. I don't know. Yeah. The thing that's interesting for Peyton is he has a chance to break like every single high school football record in the book. And it might actually be better for both LSU and him for him to do that. Because quarterback is a position where the snaps you get is always the most valuable asset, even if they are high school snaps. Right? So I'm not the biggest fan of reclassifying QBs. Like Dylan Raiola reclassified. He was also a little bit older for his class. And he started right away, and he's been mostly good in the college level. You know, I kind of just want Pop to take those snaps. Obviously, the good thing about that is you do fill the 2026 hole. But I think it's also kind of late for him to reclass for this. I don't know. That's always kind of out there. So where did you hear this from? Let's go to I'm not going to try and pronounce this. Al DJ or AID Joe Jr. Welcome. Does Perkins walking on the field for senior night confirms he's going to the league? Yeah. So Harold could come back next season. He was a redshirt player last year. I don't think he confirms he's going to the league. But, you know, LSU has a decision to make. And Harold Perkins has a decision to make. He could come back, whether it's with us or he wants to test the portal market. Someone's going to pay for his talent. But, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I think he does want to go to the NFL. I think, you know, he was probably, after what he did as a true freshman, he was, yeah, I'm going into the draft after year three, and here he is in year four. But he does have the year five option. Okay. Now, the On3 message boards, got to be careful. I was giving them a lot of praise. Maybe it's true. I mean, there's been a lot of things that they've gotten right in there. And once again, I'm not a member, but, you know, a lot of the stuff will get screenshotted and sent my way. So there you go. You're not going to get two, man. You're not going to get two. But Ola Gris, to your point, to finish up on this, yeah, Kiffin's got a few offers. Lane got two with Walker Howard and Spencer Sanders with Dart coming back. Yeah, the Spencer Sanders transfer might be the greatest work of art by Lane Kiffin ever. To convince a year five guy to come in and try and take over from a starter's role. It's crazy to me. God bless, dude. Feel bad for Braylon Moore, man. He's given us all, dude. He's given us his all, and he's only taken a few injuries. Had the injury early in the year, or early in the game versus La Tech, and then he had the injury early tonight. Ooh, if we have DJ Chester at center versus David Stone next week, it's going to get nasty. It's going to be nasty. Okay. Nasty. No. You're Jordan thinks Kinzel should have been taken off the team. No. Come on. Once again, in every LSU game, you should bet the under. The over-under versus Oklahoma next week is already set on DraftKings or FanDuel at 2. And that is the over-under. All right, so I've seen this quite a bit. Opt out of the bowl games, this Turtle Shave Shells 56-68. Opting out of the bowl, first off, that's a crazy photo if I think that's what I think that is. Opting out of the bowl game, what are the pros of that? Well, the pros is that you can get your roster ready for the next year. And there actually are a lot of pros of that. Like, you can really get into the portal window, really get some things going as far as how you want the roster to look. Then, of course, you don't have injuries and all of that. The downside of that is actually pretty massive because the bowls pay you as a school to come play in the games. Okay? Who do I not want Florida to hire? Lane, because that's who we're after. Other than that, it really doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't, because we don't play them every year. Now, of course, you would prefer it to be somebody bad, but I just don't know who that would be. But, you know, once again, with any of these coaching stuff, coaching hires, it really is all crapshoots, man. Like, I saw a tweet a little bit earlier that actually – make sure I get it right. I saw it. Go to his page. That was from Roz and Will, good LSU following, knows ball. And he said, that was Pat Fitzgerald. So I think a lot of you remember Pat Fitzgerald got fired. He was a really good coach at Northwestern. It's a tough place to win. Northwestern's not that great of a program, but they almost beat Michigan last week. And David Braun was a guy that they just promoted, and it worked. There have been a lot of these, hey, we're just promoting this guy, hires that worked. Ed worked. Braun's working. Yeah, both of those quarterbacks can run. One that I'm very interested in is a USF quarterback, what he decides to do. More than likely, he would follow Golsh with whatever head coaching job he would get, but that guy's good. Romeo says, F that, I want to watch a damn bowl game. Well, more than likely, it would be on New Year's Eve. All right, y'all. I think I'm worn out. I shouldn't have done 5 hours the night before a game. Huh? Oh, man. I do want to show this. This play just got sent to... If you want to know the magic of the Les Miles era, the fact that we pulled this off 3 separate times and it worked every single time... It's still crazy to me. Okay. This is on 4th and 15, too. Oh, man. Look at that. It wouldn't have gone anywhere. And 94 didn't even try and go to the ball. So 12 was able to dribble it, then pick it up, and then go score. Oh, man. Oh, man. Kudos to the Skycam guy on his game, dude. That's so freaking funny. Holy shite. Why would Raiola leave? I don't think LSU fans want another pocket QB who can't run. Lagway, Sellers. Cal's QB can't run, but he's good. Sellers is going pro. Sad world, dude. Sad, sad, sad world. All right, y'all. We'll get to one final break, and we will be back right after this, okay? Once again, don't forget, join the PHL Patreon today. Are you a diehard LSU fan, and would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter G, why you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go!
It's Power Hour LSU.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power, power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power, power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power.
All righty. We take a look at the rest of the SEC today. And one thing that bothers me when I look at the rest of the Southeastern Conference is how bad the games were today. Dear Lord. The wildest thing about today is that 13-10, LSU and Western Kentucky might have been the most compelling game. Tennessee blows out Florida. Vanderbilt blows out Kentucky. South Carolina blows out Coastal. Texas blows out Arkansas. Auburn, true freshman, Deuce Knight, 62-17. Georgia completely called off the dogs versus Charlotte. That was my lock of the week. I didn't put it in the PHL Discord. That's my bad. You always bet the non-P4 team versus Georgia. They always call off the dogs, dude. Always, especially later in the year. Alabama versus Eastern Illinois. Oklahoma and Texas A&M. Two shutouts. There was, okay, let's see. One, two, three, four SEC games today that featured one of the teams not even scoring a touchdown. Five, if you include LSU Western Kentucky, because Western Kentucky really didn't score a touchdown. And you wonder why I want a 9-game conference schedule. Because you don't have as many of these kinds of games. It's crazy. That is true. That they were in field goal safe on that play. All right, y'all. That'll do it for me. Big thanks to all our supers. Special TK. Army. Nola. And Army again. Guitar George. We'll see you tomorrow night. Live stream for typical Sunday nights, 8 p.m. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Tonight, we are doing turkey sandwiches. Let's go. Let's go.